This channel is sponsored by Dab Apps. Hello, you're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. I'm Laura Evans and this is the Brighton Business Show. Broadcasting monthly, you can hear from local entrepreneurs, find out about schemes you could be taking advantage of, hear about events you might want to attend, and pick up tips from business experts. Our sponsor is Cover's Timber and Builders Merchants, and this is the Christmas special. Today we'll be looking back at some of the Chamber's inspirational speakers, and Abby Morton of Brighton Chamber is popping in to tell us about some upcoming events. And I'll be joined by the lovely Brian Warren of Quick HR and Susie Doherty of Vervate for some chat and mince pies. Seeing it as it's the Christmas special, let's have a bit of Wham.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Brighton Business Show with Laura Evans on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. And if you feel like being generous for Christmas and donating to the station, please do go visit RadioReverb.com. Help keep us independent and ad-free. This station is run by volunteers and operates on your donations. You can sponsor a show if you want to. Thanks to our sponsor, Covers Timber and Builders Merchants, an independent, family-owned builders merchants offering a wide range of products for both trade and DIY. Now it's time for some local business news. If you have any news, let me know. I can give you a mention on the show. Get in touch via the show page or tweet me at Laura of Brighton. Things like events, award wins, launches of new products. If you have a press release, that's really helpful. Congratulations, Simon Callahan, on winning Best Mentor Award at the Mentors Me Awards. He'll be coming on the show with his mentee next month to talk about how to make mentorship work for you. Another winner, Enterprise First, won the Future of Enterprise Support Award at the National Enterprise Network Awards. They offer all sorts of support for businesses, so visit their website at enterprisefirst.co.uk for more info. Ebony Allard has released her new book. It's called Misfit to Maven. The book is part story, part handbook, and shows you how you can go from feeling ah about business to feeling ah about it. Plus Accounting have launched a new website. See it at plusaccounting.co.uk. There's a resources section for you on there. And they'll be doing an event on the 26th of January to help you learn about new dividend changes. And the Brighton i360 have a sponsor, British Airways. So earlier this year, we had Eleanor Harris talking to us about the build and when it will be finished. You can check that out on my podcast and listen to all past interviews and shows at laura-brighton.podomatic.com. And another bit of news for the station, for Radio Reverb. We've got a new show called What's the Crack with Anthony Martin, bringing you A Taste of Ireland, broadcasting live on Mondays at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. and repeats on Tuesdays at noon and Saturday at 1 a.m. So that's the news. And yeah, please do send me in your news, get in touch, and hopefully I can give you a mention on the show. Right, now I'm joined by Abby Morton of Brighton Chamber of Commerce, and she's going to tell us about some of the upcoming news for Brighton Chamber. Hi, Abby.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm all right, thank you.
You've got some special news. Oh, I'm going to make you say it on the radio. Come on.
I haven't even put it on Facebook. I don't want to let the world know.
This won't go out for a couple of weeks, so don't worry.
I'm engaged to be married.
Congratulations. What a lucky man.
I'm a lucky lady.
And how's it going at the chamber? Another congratulations on a brilliant Brighton Summit. So you've just done this massive annual conference that you do, and you guys must be exhausted.
It was brilliant. Over 300 people turned up, and there was just so much energy, such a buzz, and loads of people had really practical things to take away from the day. It was really tangible stuff that they were learning all about how to grow your business. And this year's been brilliant in general. We've had over 200 new members.
I was going to mention that as well. And that's your department. So
yeah,
you've been doing a lot of hard work.
Yeah, been getting out and meeting people.
And what you've recently moved to Preston Park. So
yes.
You're based at the Entrepreneurial Spark building now as well.
Yeah.
So it's all been changed for you this year.
Yeah, it's good. It's almost like it's breathed a new lease of life into the chamber.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we were full of life anyway.
Nice.
I wouldn't say we're your average chamber. We do a lot of exciting and diverse events. So,
I mean, you certainly couldn't describe the chamber as stuffy. You're not that kind of organisation, are you? And you have some very interesting members. And what kind of people go to your events?
Gosh, it's a really, really broad mix of people that it just reflects all businesses in Brighton. Obviously, you've got the men in suits. You'll get them at all business events. We love the men in suits. But there's also a lot of charities and business coaches and creatives, copywriters, photographers. We had a locksmith join and a bank and a funeral directors. And so literally something for everybody. Some of the key players in Brighton, like Domestic in General, they joined the chamber this year. And yeah, so some of the big players and lots of medium businesses and lots of freelancers as well. So literally covering every single sector and size.
Tell me about some of the events that you're doing early next year, so January, February next year.
Cool. We're kicking off with our new member welcome. That's the first event of 2016. I think it's going to be a busy one. We've really been exploring our behind-the-scenes events for members at the Chamber. They're really exciting. So we're doing one on the 13th of January at the Amex Stadium.
When are you going back in the sewers? I want to go back to the sewers one.
I've
really
not
been
on
that one
again as well.
I missed out because it was booked up.
Hopefully this summer. But apparently at the stadium, it's really interesting because you get to see the dressing rooms. Mm. The room for the home team, the room for the away team, and they're completely different. And it's all about playing psychological mind games on the opponents. And yeah, so that'll be really, really interesting. We've got a big debate on the 15th of January about whether the EU should be more business friendly. We've got about 100 people booked on already, so I think it's going to be quite lively again. Caroline Lucas is speaking, and also Daniel Hannan. So come along to that one, it's free. We're doing some more training sessions as well. We've got bite-sized learning on cybersecurity with Robert Schifrin.
Yeah.
He was the UK's first ever hacker, and he works at the University of Brighton. So that's exciting.
Bringing you the criminal element, exciting.
The seedy underbelly of the Brighton Chamber. loads going on. Major developments, we're doing our second major developments, which is looking at the Brighton Pavilion development, also Moshimo and their big extension that they're putting on top of their
restaurant.
Interesting.
So can I come along and record at that? Because I love to share the gossip of what's going on with all the building stuff in Brighton. I did the last one.
Absolutely.
I've got a recording that I'm going to play in a bit, and it's from one of the Chamber breakfasts. So we're listening to a couple of those today, some of the particularly... I mean, they're all really interesting, inspirational.
Yeah.
This one's Richard Robinson. He's talking about the inner ape versus the inner ant. So
that was brilliant. I could listen to Richard speak all day.
He's very exciting.
He's so funny.
And excitable.
Yes. And he knows everything.
He does. He does.
I'm looking forward to the next Science Festival in February.
Yeah.
Be good. Always a good one.
And people ought to bear in mind the breakfasts do book up.
Yes.
They really book up, don't they?
Yeah, we've already sold half the tickets for January.
You need to get in there.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of pop-up events because of the breakfast selling out. So there's always opportunities to meet people, and we're always happy to introduce you as well.
Yes, you're very, very helpful, you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. So if people want to find out more, what's your website?
It is businessinbrighton.org.uk.
And do you want a mince pie? I've got some lovely mince... Yeah, I can see your eyes popping a bit.
It is time for pudding.
Brilliant. Abby, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks.
And here's that package. It's Richard Robinson talking about the inner ape versus the inner ant at Brighton Chamber Breakfast.
Ants are fabulous beasties. They are possibly who we should be aspiring to. It's fantastic what they've discovered about ants. They are, of course, stupid. They only have 250,000 neurons. We've got 10,000 billion of them. They are stupid, they're blind, they're deaf, they're dumb, they've taken over the planet, and for 200 million years they've dominated. There's no place they don't go. What is it that makes an ant brilliant? If you have a fight with an ant, you win. That's the end of that fight. But what makes that ant brilliant is the other ants. They work together on their projects. You can't get rid of them. You can get rid of an ant, you can't get rid of the nest, as anybody who's got an infestation of ants knows. That's the problem you're dealing with. Richard Feynman, a famous scientist, he was working on the Manhattan Project. When he came home from working out how to blow people up, he said, I may be just about to blow up a city, but the ants are taking over my kitchen. There was a straight line of ants from the larder to the door, and he thought, how do they get that straight line? They're stupid. Everybody knows this. There's no king ant at the top going left a bit, right a bit. There's no kings, by the way. They're all females, in case you wondered. There's no queen either. At least there is a queen, but she's 6 foot underground laying eggs. That's all she does. They are working like Wikipedia. They're working just on a local basis. Little ideas come up there and here and there. They're following a pheromone trail. Oh, so he said, let's do an experiment to see how they get that straight line. He put some food down on the floor, and the ants were wandering around like stupid ants would. Oh, One of them came across some food. He said, "Oh, food! Better take that back home!" And he wandered off vaguely towards where he knew the hole was. She knew the hole was until she got there, leaving a wobbly tail. And behind the wobbly trail was a pencil line because Feynman was seeing where she went. Another ant came across the trail. Now, the trail of pheromones tells you what's going on. So the ant came across the trail, sniffed it, and said, "There's food at the end of this trail." Followed the trail to the food, picked up some more food, and then followed the trail back to the nest. However, because it was a stupid ant, it kept on missing the trail. It kept on losing the path and then finding it again and then losing it and then finding it again. And every time, Feynman noticed, every time it lost the trail and picked it up again, it cut the corner. Another ant picked up some more, went back, cut the corners, and after a few hundred ants had done it, they had a straight line. There's a lesson here, isn't there? Two wrongs don't make a right. 2,000 wrongs might. You've heard about body language. You've heard about mirroring, neurolinguistic programming, and all the rest of that. You've heard about how we relate to other people. Well, it's hardwired. You actually have neurons in your brain that fire off when somebody is doing something. So I see that glass being lifted up to your mouth there, and a part of my brain is lifting a glass or preparing to lift a glass up to my brain. It actually is a physical correlate between the two. You're emulating the people around. You are not just mimicking people every now and then. You're failing to mimic them every now and then. Actually, if you were left to your own devices, you'd do exactly the same as everybody else. We are linked in together in an incredible way. Just like those ants and their pheromones, and we also, by the way, emit pheromones. We emit signals through the air that tell other people what we're thinking. A team only works when they're sending out friendly signals. If somebody's not happy, they're telling everybody. They're almost shouting it. They're almost screaming it. You are emulating me. So, for instance, you're looking at me. You're checking out whether I'm nervous or confident. You're checking out whether I believe what I'm saying or I don't believe it. You're doing what I'm doing. We're all in this together. I've heard that phrase before. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, of course, because we're not in this together, are we? This is David Cameron saying, actually what his real words were is, "You're in this together. We're out of this." And this reminds me that we've got a different business model out there in our brains. I'm talking to you about how we are all lovey-dovey and we are all sort of teaming up together. David Cameron and his ilk, of course, are saying, no, inequality is important. And this reminds us that we've got another way of looking at the world. Ever since Darwin and the theory of evolution, we've been talking about the survival of the fittest. When genes, DNA, first appeared on the planet in the form of bacteria, only the bacteria that were the feistiest survive to the next generation. Only the ones that got to the food first. Only the ones that managed to reach the light first. Only the winners survived. The others died away because they weren't fed or they didn't get to the light. So only the winners survive. That is selfishness. That's built into the DNA. And therefore, after that, everything has been selfish. Everything has been to do with getting the DNA forward to the next generation. As Samuel Butler said 150 years ago, a hen is just an egg's way of making another egg. It turns out that we don't have DNA. DNA has us. So selfishness is the way forward. And actually, as a business model, this works well, doesn't it? You've got to cut your costs as much as possible. You've got to promote yourself in front of others. You've got to advertise yourself as busily as you can. You've got to survive in that place. Otherwise, you won't be the fittest. You won't survive. You'll dive. It's survivors and divers. And you want to be a survivor. And there in the office also, you want to be the best. You want to be promoted. You want to be the best paid. You want to be the top of that greasy pole. You want to be an alpha. You certainly don't want to be a beta. You'll fight not to be a beta. And certainly not an omega. You don't want to be he who makes the tea, do you? So here we are. We've got two completely different patterns of behavior stuck in front of us. I'm saying on the one side, yes, we're all teams, we all work together, we all lovey-dovey. And on the other hand, no, we need to be different, we need to be separate. The selfish gene says the only way to go forward is to be analytical, is to make a difference, is to change things. Change is a part of our process of being selfish. Change is not the part of the process of being a team. Being the same as everybody else is part of that. So I'm stuck with this dilemma. It's two completely different opposite theories, both of which have anatomical, philosophical, logical, zoological, psychological proof behind them, and yet they're complete opposites. What am I going to do? Well, I decided to come down firmly on both sides. Because both of these things are true, we are melded with each other, we are blended together in this fabulous, exotic way, we are just a little below angels. At the same time, we are selfish, we have that side. I said, the two must coexist somehow or other. I don't know, they must. And then, an explosion. Bang! Chaos. Chaos actually is how the whole damn shebang was created. The Big Bang was a big mass of chaos. Chaos flew out into the universe, and guess what? Order started to happen straight away. To get order, you need to start with chaos. That's what happened, of course, with those ants. They were chaotic. If they hadn't been chaotic, they wouldn't have got the straight line. That's what happens with Wikipedia. Lots of stuff's got to go in there so that the best stuff remains behind afterwards. When the Big Bang happened, what do we get? Nice round planets, nice round suns. Order started to happen. Pretty spirals, flat planes for all those galaxies. On a big scale, order is happening, and on a small scale as well. You may have wondered why it is the big bits of muesli find their way to the top of the box. It's exactly the same. The more you shake that box, the more it separates out. You're creating order through chaos. So the great, beautiful, wonderful things of life come from chaos, come from the collision of various forces. In your case, the collision of various forces, the force of selfishness and the force of generosity. The argy-bargy mixed with the lovey-dovey all together. Fission and fusion together create the fantastic thing which we call civilization. Just one last thing that came up quite near towards the end. The Portuguese man of war. Anybody who's worked for a large organization, you may have come across this animal. The Portuguese man of war is a big jellyfish which stings people and kills animals that way. It sits in the sea and floats around the place with its long tendrils. It turns out it isn't an animal. It's a colony of four different ones. One does the floating, one does the stinging, another one does the digestion, and the fourth animal deals with reproduction. These four animals exist on their own as independent creatures in the ocean around. The genome is very similar. But when they get together to form the Portuguese man of war, they each give up some of their DNA, some of their freedom, in order to become part of the bigger whole. When you join a large organization, you give up some of your character in order to become part of the whole. If you didn't know it before, have a look at the Portuguese man of war and realize it now. Thank you very much for your time today. Thank you.
That was Richard Robinson talking about the inner ape versus the inner ant at one of the Brighton Chamber breakfasts. You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. I'm Laura Evans and this is the Brighton Business Show. I'm going to play you another Christmassy track now. It's local legend and national celebrity, Lorraine Bowen. I'm going to post a link on my show page to Lorraine's comedy drama about the Chalkwell Ladies Drum and Bass League that she recorded for Radio Reverb. I was lucky enough to be sitting in the audience at that one. It was a really good laugh. This track, it's Christmas Crumble.
Christmas dinner's so lovely. It's my favourite time of the year. And now for Christmas pudding. Oh, what's that smell coming from the kitchen? Disaster! The pudding's burnt to a crisp. There's only one way to save the day. Make a Christmas crumble! Everybody's good at cooking something, and I'm good at Christmas crumble. In fact, I've got one in the oven. Would you like some? Yeah! Everybody's good at cooking something, and I'm good at Christmas crumble. In fact, I've got one in the oven. Would you like some? A bit of custard, a bit of cream is to remind you of your best dream. Anything you want with it, anything you like. But if you don't tell me soon, I'll be off on my bike. I'll be off on my bike. Everybody's good at cooking something, and I'm Christmas crumble. In fact, I've got one in the oven. Would you like some? Everybody's good at cooking something, and I Christmas crumble. In fact, I've got one in the oven. Would you like some? A bit of custard, a bit of cream. It'll remind you of your best dream. Anything you want with it, anything you like. But if you don't tell me soon, I'll be off on my bike. I'll be off on my bike. Everybody's good at cooking something, and I'm good at Christmas crumble. In fact, I got one in the oven. Would you like some? Again! Everybody's good at cooking something, and I'm good at Christmas crumble. In fact, I've got one in the oven. Would you like some? I've got my headphones on, bingo wings out. Headphones on, bingo wings out. Headphones, bingo wings. 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 Headphones, bingo wings.
I'm Laura Evans, and you're listening to the Brighton Business Show on Radio Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, sponsored by Covers Timber and Builders Merchants, available online as a podcast and on iTunes now as well, so check it out on there. We're looking back at some of the great inspirational speakers from this year at the Chamber and eating some mince pies as part of a Christmas special. I'm joined now by Brian Warren of Quick HR and Susie Doherty of Avate. Brian, Susie, hi.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, really good, thanks.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Brian's wearing a lovely jumper.
I am. It's my Doctor Who Christmas jumper.
It's frightening.
It's nice. It's kind of in keeping with the hat. And you bought some crackers as well.
I did.
So
should we pop one now?
Cause yeah,
I'm
let's pop
really,
the crackers.
I'm just dressed in black.
Wear we a can, hat,
I do. I want to yeah. be Christmassy.
Here we go. Hey.
That's the only one I'm going to win this year.
There you go. You have a choice. Susie, you can have orange.
I've got plastic bowling ball things.
Oh, you get a toy as well. I forget.
You can play with that in the office.
I've got a spinny thing.
I'd like to think I was a bit busier than that, but thank you.
There goes 2 hours of my life.
Yeah.
Orange
right,
or yellow?
Right, hat's going on. I'm going. I like yeah. You go for orange because it'll clash with your jumper.
Okay.
Looking
right,
sharp.
We're done.
Nice. This is nice. Well, bye guys. You can stay for
and
a while.
Brilliant.
You came so, with crackers.
Brian, let's have a look back on the year. What's this year been like for you at Quick HR?
It's been insanely busy, to be honest, and isn't slowing down. Usually this close to Christmas, things get wound up and we sort of at least have a quieter week or two at this point. But no, it's been really busy. It was really busy all the way through the summer. And it's partly because the companies that we're working with are doing so well. They're so all hiring this year. They're all expanding. Especially the digital ones.
So you're sensing good economy, and a couple of my guests have spoken about that this year, about the recovery. They've noticed more kind of recovery and spend.
Yeah. I mean, partly it's that, because it was the same across all of the industry sectors we work with, especially digital, though. I mean, there was a report out fairly recently, Wired Sussex did the research that showed the digital industry is now worth $1
billion wow.
for Brighton and Hove. Only 2 years ago, it was $750 million. So it's just going up and up and up.
Mm. And Susie, I know this has been an exciting year for you because you came on previously and spoke about what was happening with your relaunch.
Yeah.
And this has been a tough, like, just in terms of hard work, you've worked really hard this year.
Oh, thanks for that. Yeah, because I am absolutely tired out. Having sworn last time, I'm going to really be careful this time.
I'll bleep it out. It'll be fine.
Absolutely exhausted, I have to say. But to be honest, we're really busy too. And this is only the fourth year, so it's difficult to kind of judge a pattern. But generally, December, we have seen a dip, and we would just have one or two clients with lots of jobs in, like, schools, for instance, in December, but we haven't slowed down yet, which is really exciting. But I want to stop. I want to get off for the Christmas week at the moment. But that is a really nice thing to be able to say.
Yeah.
Actually.
Have you got a busy December?
Up until... sorry, I'm looking away from the microphone. Brian, the snake radio. No, where is it going? I'll follow the microphone, please.
Turn you towards him a bit.
Oh, okay. I'm there, everybody. Yes, up until the Christmas week, actually, we've got stuff booked in, which hasn't happened before. Like I said, we just had a few kind of things going on. So it does feel... And they're deeper and more complicated type jobs as well, which, again, is brilliant. But my brain has nearly stopped.
But the rebrand has really paid off for you then, looking back
really
on that.
It really has. It absolutely has. Yeah, we've properly taken off. It feels very comfortable. It's really exciting still.
And please tell me, you do shut your offices between Christmas and New Year's, right?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Oh, yes.
Do. He's in HR. No. I haven't heard that yet. I'm saying I'm going to stop, but I know I need to. I don't know how I'm going to do that yet, but I am going to give it a go.
You just have to. You have to have a break.
I shall.
It's a nice time for people to kind of stop and reflect on the previous year before you kind of come into the new year making all your New Year's resolutions. It's a chance to kind of look back. And I mean, if there was anything that you've kind of learned from this year or you might have done differently, what would those things be?
That's an interesting question. What have I done this year that I wouldn't do again?
I
wouldn't take on quite so much work at the same time because sometimes when things come in, if the person on the phone sounds stressed, we try and do things as quickly as we can. But actually, it did mean that for a period of time, July and August, I was working very, very long days. So I probably try and manage workloads a bit better, just sort of try and get ahead. Sometimes you can do that because the customer isn't expecting you to come back to them quite so quickly. Even if you think you're helping them, they're not really, they're sort of pleasantly surprised but didn't expect it.
Yeah. What about you, Susie?
I think the pacing yourself thing actually is really key, because you do, I mean, it's all the same old chestnuts really, you know, that if you work yourself into the ground, you're not going to do as well as you should be doing, you're not going to achieve as much. And even, you know, I can spend from 7 in the morning till 7 at night without leaving the desk, you know, get a cup of tea and stuff, but you know, and that's just silly though. It doesn't achieve anything as much as doing the whole, you know, stretching yourself better. So I need to get much better at that.
I suppose we all have like a lifestyle in mind when we go off and set up our own businesses, and maybe we didn't imagine that it would be that extent of hours. Or I suppose you do it when you've kind of got a project as big as you've had on this year, and hopefully it'll level out a bit more next year.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the thing is, it's very different working for yourself. It genuinely is, because you do. I mean, I absolutely adore it, and also you do get back what you put in generally, don't you? And it does give you that drive. So
me
it is
too.
Different.
Great.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that one. It's nice to be able to make decisions rather than having everything done and a fait accompli, and then it's given to you to get on with it.
Yeah, I like working in my pyjamas, so if I'm not going to meet someone, I'm going to sit in bed and watch the right stuff for a bit and answer some emails. But I do work really hard the rest of the time, so disclaimer. We're going to play a track now. It's Eels with Everything's Going to Be Cool This Christmas.
Remember last year when you were on your own, swore the spirit couldn't be found. December rolled around and you were counting on it to roll out. Well, everything's gonna be cool this Christmas.
Everything's gonna be looking for you down at the house. The tree is looking so inspiring. There's a Yuletide groove waiting for you to move. I'll go and throw another log on the fire. Everything's gonna be cool this Christmas.
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 baby Jesus, born to rock. As days go by, the more we need friends, and the harder they are to find. If I could have a friend like you all my life, well, I guess I'd be doing just fine. Everything's gonna be cool this Christmas.
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 This is the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM with me, Laura Evans, available to download and listen to on your commute or whilst cooking Christmas dinner via laura-brighton.podomatic.com. Check out radioreverb.com for other shows and to donate to the station, so help keep us independent and ad-free. I'm joined by Brian of Quick HR and Susie of Vervate. Back for more.
Hello.
Hello.
You've taken your hat off.
I have.
Come on, Brian.
Come on, love. Come
but
on.
If I wear the hat, you can't see the light reflecting on my bald
it's
head.
It's blinding me.
Okay, I'll put it back on.
I don't have to ask you, Brian. You're obviously quite a Christmassy person.
I am.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I love Christmas. I really do. I've added True Christmas on Freeview to my favourites. I've started watching Christmas stuff in November. I'm terrible.
That's a little early. But what about you, Susie? You're maybe not into it that early.
I'm not quite that obsessed with it, no. But I do love it. I love the whole excitement. I just like lots of fairy lights everywhere and all that sort of jazz.
That's understandable.
Really. Mm. And an excuse to drink a lot of booze.
And eat a lot of mince
and
pies.
And eat a lot of yes. stuff. Yes.
Do you guys want a mince pie?
I'd love a mince pie.
Yes,
I thought you were joking.
No,
I
didn't. Oh, homemade, look, Brian.
Oh, how
I'll
beautiful.
I'll just take them out of the co-op.
Oh, this must have taken you hours.
It took me ages.
Thank you.
Thanks, that's lovely.
Right, you just talk while we eat.
I go back to the Midlands at Christmas, which is, I mean, I prefer to stay in Brighton, but because it's awesome. You can go walk on the beach and stuff like that. And Brighton does have an amazing community, which is a good link for me into my next recording, which I'll talk about in a second. But tell me about some of the things that kind of the advantage that you get from being part of a Brighton community or some of the things you do. I know, Brian, that you post a lot of these very cool graffiti pictures.
Oh,
and
yes,
and
yes.
Brighton's got a real culture of graffiti.
Yeah, and it's everywhere. It's spreading as well. And it is amazing that these people do it for free.
Mm.
Well, they're not even doing it for free. It costs them every time they put something up in materials. So, and I just started taking photos of it because every now and again I'd see something amazing and then 2 weeks later it was gone.
Mm.
And my friends hadn't had a chance to see it. So it just started a couple of years ago doing it that way. And now, because I'm bouncing around Brighton and Sussex all the time, every time I see something, I just take a photograph.
Mm. And it's because Brighton's got quite a special kind of community in terms of the business networking and stuff as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're both very much part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, really are, actually. So, I mean, the Chamber's been a great source for me as well. Some great business friends I've met there as well, so that's been brilliant. But yeah, it's just lovely to hook up with people really easily and kind of chat about all things business. It's, you know, it's not a salesy type thing, it's just often a sharing of stress or you know, and sometimes happy stuff.
Yeah.
No,
so
but
that's
it's
good news.
It is
it's a very entrepreneurial place, and
yeah,
there's so many incubator schemes. I mean, there's the entrepreneurial spark that's happening at the moment, but there seems to be in the next couple of years there'll be a lot of stuff popping up, new stuff to come as well.
Yeah, and there is a report, Brighton Council produced it back in the summer. 1 in 6 men in Brighton are self-employed. And I think it was around 1 in 10 women as well. So there's a lot of freelancers out there. And a lot of it is basically two main industries. It's construction and digital for it. But you meet all kinds of people at networking events in Brighton, which it just doesn't really happen in other towns. You meet sort of people from all shapes and sizes and all kinds of backgrounds. So it's always great fun as well, going to these sorts of events.
And there's always a general excitement, isn't there? Because people really, in Brighton, people love something new. And they really do get behind you. So there's a real sense that people are willing you on to kind of succeed. And that's been a lovely experience for us in the first few years.
Yeah. And do you do any charitable type work?
We do. We are quite careful because, you know, that it was very easy to overcommit and then suddenly you find yourself absolutely exhausted by the weekend and thinking, I haven't had a minute to actually do any work. So I am careful. I don't want to commit to people and then have to let them down for a start. But we've actually just put it on our website, the things that we've been sort of supporting. And we always encourage people to contact us as well. Certainly with charities, they're struggling for funding this year. So if we can do something to help that I know that they can't pay for, so it's a little bit of HR help, but I know that they're not really going to pay me, then that's absolutely fine.
Oh, we had Tracy Allen on the show last month talking about the Giving Times, the launch of this new website to help promote news for the third sector and charities and not-for-profit, and she was saying how difficult it is for them this year and that charities are apparently, they're less popular than supermarkets.
Oh, really?
At the moment, which is shocking.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, it kind of feeds into the next package that I'm going to play. So it's Andy Winter of Brighton Housing Trust, and he's speaking at one of the Brighton Chamber breakfasts in September 2014. It's a while ago, but it was such a moving talk that he did, so I really wanted to play this one. So let's have a listen to that.
It was a great talk.
It was brilliant.
Good morning. I was saying to a couple of colleagues before we started, I'm extraordinarily nervous because if I was talking about BHT, housing, homelessness, social policy, my view of councillors and politicians, I'd be totally relaxed. But having been asked to talk about myself is actually quite difficult. And I feel rather exposed before such an important audience as this today. But where did it start for me? I was brought up in apartheid South Africa. And it was in about 1971, 72. I was coming home from school one day, and we went through an area called District 6. Now, I don't know if you know this area. District 6 was one of the most vibrant multiracial communities, even under apartheid, during the 1960s. But the apartheid government designated as a white-only area, and they forcibly removed all the residents of this very old community and forcibly moved them about 25, 30 miles out of Cape Town near the international airport. And they bulldozed all these homes. And as my bus was coming home from school this one particular day, we went past a boarded-up parade of shops. And I looked out of the window from the top of the bus, and if I close my eyes, I can see it as clearly today as it was however many years ago it was now. And I saw cowering on the floor a very elderly black man in rags, and standing over him, raining down blows and kicks mercilessly, were two young white men. And my bus sped off home, and I went home to my affluent suburb. And as a 10 or 11-year-old, I didn't have the vocabulary or the emotional intelligence to, or the political understanding to realize what was going on there. I just knew I had witnessed something truly appalling. I don't know who that man was. I don't know if he survived the assault. He certainly wouldn't have gone to the local police station to report him being a victim of violence, because under apartheid, a black person had really, really no rights at all. And what's more, those two young, healthy, strong white men were probably police officers themselves. And I didn't talk about that for a number of years, but it set in my mind something about social justice. I knew what I had witnessed was wrong on so many levels. Today I can intellectualize it. Race, age, poverty, apartheid, oppression. And I can wax lyrically about those issues. But for that 10 or 11-year-old, it actually sowed a seed. I arrived in Britain in February 1979, and I knew practically no one in this country other than somebody else who was a draft dodger who lived in a town I'd never heard of, and I had to get directions, and I arrived in this town called Brighton, the morning I arrived in England. And to this day, I'm grateful he didn't live in Hull or Swindon or anywhere like that. Is anybody from Hull or Swindon? I'm sure it's lovely. So I arrived in Brighton, and I became the worst nightmare of a Daily Mail sub-editor. I became your traditional benefit scrounger. I arrived in the country, and I signed on. And then the job centre were onto me, and they were sending me for jobs, security guard at Tesco's, which wasn't quite my calling, I didn't think. And I was sent for a job at St Dunstan's, the home for blind ex-servicemen. And this is the shaming part of my talk, and I'm not sure why I'm even sharing this with you. But I went there determined to appear very keen, but totally unsuitable to work with ex-servicemen as a draft dodger. And I went there, and this is the shaming bit, my motivation for getting into social care. As I arrived at Pearson House, which was St Dunstan's centre in Abbey Road before they sold it off to the health authority, coming out of the door was a woman I knew who I really, really, really fancied. And she said, it's a great place to work. There's a small group of us. We socialise together, and it's, it's great. So I went in. I was really keen and very suitable I got the job. She left 2 days later. Nothing ever came of it. But the good thing is it got me into social care. And I loved the work. And it really gave me something. And then in 1985, three things happened. It was a significant year in my life. I describe it as my misspent youth. I got elected as a local councillor to the old Brighton Borough Council. I met my wife. And I got my first job with Brighton Housing Trust. And last Tuesday was the 29th anniversary of me working for BHT. When I started with BHT, there were only seven of us in the organisation. We were a very small homelessness project. And over the course of the following years, I started off as a hostel worker. Then I became the manager of our hostels and began specialising in alcohol, drug and mental health services. And then in 2003, I was appointed as the chief executive. By that stage, we had 115 members of staff, so we had grown quite considerably. Over the last 11 years, we've continued to grow. We're now one of the larger employers in Brighton, employing something like 300 people. And our impact on the local economy is quite significant. Take our advice centre. We get £80,000 a year from the local authority. On the back of that, we are able to lever in well over £1 million in legal aid agency funding. That's money that's then spent on salaries of people who live in Brighton, who then spend their money in Brighton and spend their money in your businesses. So that £80,000, ultimately, when you work it out with the local multiplier, if anyone's familiar with that, that £80,000 results in a contribution to the Brighton economy of around £3.5 million a year. And then you can look at all our other services and something similar is achieved there as well. One of the things I absolutely love about leading BHT is the lives it changes. A year and a half ago, I was forever calling the police on a particular street drinker who was one of the most vile, violent, abusive characters I'd ever come across. And he used to drink on the little retaining wall outside my office. And I would call the police probably once a week because of his conduct. What I love about BHT is I went for dinner in our addiction services and I sat next to him 5 months alcohol and drug free. And he is the most charming, shy, lovely man you could ever wish to meet. He's now finished in the project. He's moving on. He's now coming back as a volunteer to work in our detox project. And that is what really motivates me, changing lives and saving lives. On Tuesday evening, I had to go and have my eyes photographed for part of my diabetic screening. And one of the people I was chatting to at the medical centre while I was waiting said, "And so what do you do?" And I mentioned I worked for Brighton Housing Trust. And she said, "At 1980, they saved my life and they saved my home." And I find that wherever I go, more and more people say, "Oh, if it wasn't for your organisation, I wouldn't be here today." Walking down London Road, an area that's really benefiting from a lot of regeneration, on a Saturday morning where I do all my shopping, I bump into person after person, some I know, some I don't. People will come over and say, "I just want to say, you won't know me, I went through such and such a project. It's changed my life." and I've now got a job, and I'm back in touch with my children, and I've got a flat, and life is looking good for me. So that's an amazing reward. I'm lucky to have the board and the chair I have. I'm lucky to have an incredibly great management team and brilliant staff, one of whom is sitting in the back over there. So really lucky. So what do we actually do? We run about 25 services. Last year, we worked with 9,748 different people in our in Brighton, Eastbourne and Hastings, where we also work. And we helped 6,998 households from becoming homeless, or we helped them into housing. Can you imagine if we weren't here, what that would be doing to the rough sleeper numbers? Now, I'm not saying all 6,900 or whatever would end up on the streets, but we could say that the 130 people living on the streets of Brighton and Hove at the moment, that number would be massively increased if it wasn't for this organisation and several other organisations who we work in very close partnership with, who do brilliant work. So I don't say we're the only show in town, but I do know, and I'm immensely proud of the work that our staff do in improving the communities, and in particular addressing the issue of housing and homelessness.
That was Andy Winter of Brighton Housing Trust. Check out bht.org.uk, where you can find out more about what they do, see what events are coming up, and donate. They've been running a Christmas campaign. I'm sure there's still time to donate. Just £10 provides breakfast and lunch for 10 homeless people. You're listening to the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM with me, Laura Evans, sponsored by Cover's Timber and Builders Merchants. And I'm joined by Brian and Susie.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you troublesome pair.
How rude.
We were just dancing around the studio.
Yeah, that's definitely going online. So we're all looking forward to the new year. What have you got coming up in the new year?
What have we got coming up? Right, well, I've got a massively exciting year next year, which hopefully exciting in a slightly less madly strategic new website, new blah, blah going on. But my wife, Liz, is going to be joining the company. And I'm incredibly excited about that because she's another award-winning photographer to join the team. And she's going to be absolutely brilliant and just perfect timing for us. So very excited about that. So we're going forward with lots of new stuff. We're going to start some new training. Just loads of new stuff going on, but really exciting things, and all the hard work in that sense has been done, so we can kind of enjoy the takeoff now, I think.
I'll have you on again in 6 months talking about how can you work with your spouse without wanting to beat them senseless.
Well, I might be in prison by then, so yeah, but you know, if I'm not, let's try it.
We can do a Skype interview, so
yes, there's quite a few couples around who work together who run companies, so it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think to be honest, we more or less do it already because I bend over 24/7 about it. So
my partner helps me with marketing ideas, so it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And what kind of stuff have you got coming up next year, Brian?
We've got some new clients that I'm booking in for January, so they are the ones that they want something done, but they're getting ahead.
Yeah,
they don't really. Organized. They're busy in December, so they're just lining up something for the new year. So that's quite nice. And also the range of clients that we're now working with is just all over the place. It's all kinds of things. So January, February alone, it's I love that. I love the variety.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you can be in a normal office 1 minute, and then you can walk into somewhere completely different and totally different culture.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but my New Year resolution, actually professional work one, is to take more holidays.
That's
been
a good one.
Really, but I was giving people advice about this at the Word Sussex Christmas party last night, saying you've got to take holidays. And I thought, I'm such a hypocrite. I have one actual week's holiday this year.
Wow. So where will you be going?
I really want to go to Norway.
Oh.
Again, I want to go and see the Northern Lights, which I haven't done. So either Norway or Iceland. I've been to Norway and Iceland before. Where else were we talking about going? We're talking about going to Belgium, of all places. Don't laugh, because a friend of mine's moved out there a couple of years ago.
I'm not going to judge. As long as you bring me some chocolate, then
I promise I will bring you chocolate.
Thank you, Brian. And what about you? Do you have any New Year's resolutions? Personal ones are fine.
Oh, well, I mean, I said it earlier about taking breaks. We sound like a broken record, don't we, Brian? Mm. But it is going to be that. I've actually booked a holiday in Sorrento.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, can't wait. Love an old ruin, Pompeii, and all that kind of stuff. I think just I think more than the holiday thing for me is pacing myself properly rather than doing those 24/7, you know, crazy stuff. Just get some sort of better routine going. But really, I mean, it's you know, as I said, it's takeoff for you really. So I'm fine, all guns blazing. So New Year's resolution is just to find the energy from somewhere to keep going.
Susie, Brian, thank you so much for coming in.
You've
been very entertaining. So enjoy your mince pies.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Brighton Business Show with Laura Evans on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. Thanks to today's guests, Abby Morton from Brighton Chamber, Brian Warren from Quick HR, and Susie Doherty of Vervate. See the programme page on radioreverb.com for everyone's details. Let me know if you have any interesting business news or events coming up, and maybe you can come on the show. Tell me what you're doing in the new year. Go and check out the podcasts at laura-brighton.podomatic.com, and you can download the show and listen to it anywhere, anytime. Thanks for listening and have a fantastic Christmas and New Year. Let's play a track. It's The Waitresses with Christmas Wrapping.